Hi, this is Charisse Kenyon, and you're listening to the Beauty Me podcast, all about beauty beyond the BS. This week's guest is someone that I just had the best time chatting to, and I predict really, really big things for this person. I'm talking about Danielle Igor. She's a session stylist. She has her own hair brand, Igor Hair, creating custom units and wigs. She's worked with the likes of Georgia Smith. I think she got her first magazine cover recently with Georgia Smith for the ID Summer Special. There's just something really intriguing about Danielle Igor. I just think there's so much more to come from her, and she's already done so much. When you listen to this conversation, it kind of emerges that there's kind of this pattern to Danielle's life. You know how people talk about how your path is already written or your destiny is already there? Danielle shares about the influence of her dad being very business-minded, her sister being very into fashion. And that, coupled with Danielle's own ability to play with hair from a young age, I love that she shares that she started doing her own hair at 9, and wait till you hear when she started actually making money from doing hair. She's definitely a businesswoman, but she's also a creative. She'll do everything that you can think of when it's to do with hair. Not working on the salon floor, but much more about fashion week, music videos, magazine editorials. She's very inspiring, and I think she's this perfect blend of looking back at her influences and inspirations, but making things very new. You'll hear us talk in the conversation about how I really admire her ability to mix the old and new together. It's like nostalgia, but it's very fresh. We also learn in this conversation that Danielle studied chemistry, so I'm guessing a hair brand is on the way. And we also discuss her early hair inspirations from the likes of Joy Bryant, who appeared in the Jessica Alba film Honey. And I confess to Danielle, I still haven't seen that film. And we also talk about her all-time beauty icon, R&B singer Mary J. Blige. Danielle also makes me think very differently when it comes to two conversation points in this chat. She makes me think differently, especially when it comes to the argument that I've always kind of pushed, is that all stylists should be able to do all types of hair. And Danielle has a very different way of looking at it. So have a listen, let me know what you think. And if you're into hair at all, you're going to love this one. Take me through your morning routine. I would love to know what your, if you have a morning routine.
Well, I've only recently just started doing one because I was watching a podcast and they were like, okay, you need to, when you wake up, you need to get some sun. So I've started doing like a 15-minute walk when I get up, like within the first half an hour. And wow. Then if I have time, I try and have a slow morning. So that involves, you know, all body care and everything. And then I go into my skincare, have breakfast.
So how recently have you started doing that?
I would say like the past 4 months. So it's still quite new.
They say, I think it takes about 3 months for a habit to develop. So I feel like maybe this last month, maybe it's been easier for you to get straight out and walk. But how was it at the beginning? It's got to be a bit of a challenge, especially in the UK.
At first it was hard because I can be quite lazy, especially in the morning. So I'm like, ugh, I don't want to get up. But once I started doing it, and like I'll take my, like either hot water out or I'll listen to something or I'll do it silent. Like once I found, okay, this is what works for me, it got easier. So yeah, I think it only took like a couple of weeks for it to be easy for me.
And what's it given you?
I feel more peaceful in the mornings when I do it, for sure. And I think it's helping me sleep better at night.
Probably. So would you say before you started that, were you more of a wake up, check phone, stay in bed for a bit?
Yeah, wake up, go on TikTok for like an hour. If I have
time.
Oh
my God. An hour. It's always an hour. Not 5 minutes.
It goes so quickly. So try to stop doing that and stop having my phone so close to me in bed. So like I'll put it on the other side of the room, set my alarm. Sometimes before I go to bed, I'll do some French on Duolingo because I'm trying to learn French.
I love that.
Yeah. So then once I've done that, then I'll put it on the other side of the room, set my alarm, and then when I'm up, I get up straight away because I have to get up because my phone's far, and then I proceed with my day.
And then let's talk a little bit about products. Like you said, body care and your skincare. Just what are your favorite brands? What are you using?
I just use CeraVe on my skin. So I use the dry, rough, bumpy one because my skin is very dry. And my face is very dry. And since I've been using that, I think it's like got a lot better. And then good old cocoa butter for my body. And then I layer
which one though? Is it Palmer's or are you going for like that smell takes me back.
I did dabble in like the other brands. Like there's a one that's I think it's called Red Fox. I don't like that as much. But the Palmer's, yeah, all the way. Yeah.
It's a classic for a reason, isn't it? Let's talk about, you know, the reason you're on here is because obviously I admire your approach to hair, but I want to go back to your early days of like, when did you even start? Have you got any memories you can share about your hair growing up?
So from young, when my mum would do my hair, like going to school, it was so bad because she'll use me as a guinea pig. So I have looks that were like very uneven and like I remember.
But what was she doing? So is she a hairdresser?
No.
Oh. Okay.
So I have two sisters. I have two sisters, one brother. So she started doing their hair first, so like my older brother and then my older sister. But because they have a different texture to me, for me, like I have a coarser hair to them. So she was using me as a guinea pig, like to practice doing chemos and like different things. And it just wasn't looking good. So when I was old enough, I made sure that like I was doing the looks because I had to make up for that time. I remember one time, I think I was in like year four or something, and she put my head into a spider type of style. And like it just wasn't hitting school. So like,
that's serious.
I need to do something about it.
Oh, she was trying her best though, right?
That gave me the push to be like, okay, let me experiment. And then I fell in love with trying out different things and doing hair in general.
What did you fall in love with? Was it the creativity? Was it the texture? Like, what did you fall in love with while you were doing it?
I think it was the endless possibilities of what I could do with my hair. So, like, I'll have, every single day I would do something new. And that would be my makeup because I wasn't allowed to wear makeup and I didn't know how to do it because I wasn't allowed. So that would be the way that I was able to change my look. So, like, I remember doing things like different half up, half downs, but like with beads and like just different ways I could do it. Because my hair wasn't that long. But like I was making the most of what I had.
And where were you getting inspiration from? Would it have been somebody on TV? Would it have been magazines?
Black
would
hair.
It have been socials?
No.
Black hair.
Not black hair. Black hair magazine.
Which yeah. one? UK or the American one?
No, the UK one. Because that's all they had in our local like corner shop. So I'll buy those and like my mum will give me some money to buy them. And I'll see different styles in there and then like from there imagine, okay, how can I do my hair? And then seeing the other girls that I was at school, so like the white girls and the Asian girls, how they would do their hair. Because I was like one of the only black girls. And then looking at how they would do their hair and how I can adapt it for my hair. Yeah.
I love that. That's actually really interesting because, you know, often you do talk to someone that's black or mixed race and you're often one of the few at school. So it's not like you see many of yourself, but I love how you were able to look at the other races and think, well, how do I? So you've obviously got that brain was working early, that curiosity. Were you playing with chemicals or was it all natural stuff at that age? Were you playing with chemicals?
No way. We weren't allowed. So like me and my sister at the time, my older sister, we weren't allowed to like perm our hair or anything because my mum had done it and had a bad experience. She used to have long hair and then it fell out. So she was like, girls, you're never having this. So from young I was working with my own texture. It's like I've never been relaxed or anything like that.
Oh well, and even to this day?
Yeah. No, I'm natural.
Oh, I love that. What's the first style that you thought, yeah, I look amazing? Even if you don't look back now and think you looked amazing.
I think it was when I used to do the two plaits at the back, and then I'll have the half, and then my hair wasn't long enough at the front to do a sweep, so I'll have to like twist it, and then this gave me some shape to my face. So I'm like, okay, yeah. And then when I had my first weave, I would have been 13. My friend, my neighbour used to do it for me. And I thought, yeah.
And your mum was cool with the weave?
Yeah, because she allowed me to experiment that way. And I added some colour. So I thought, like, I had my premium two bundles or packets at the time.
bundles sound so much more glamorous than packets of hair. Bundles makes it sound like literally abundant, like all this hair, and then the packets, you just remember the crickly crackly plastic. So how did things change for you? So was this when you were a teenager that you really managed to start nailing the styles, or were you a bit younger?
So I started doing my own hair when I was about 9, 10, and then from 13 was when I was getting the weaves and I was learning how to do it myself. By touch, when my friend would do it, I'd be like, okay, so she's done it like this, so I can take over her clientele.
Oh wow, Danielle, I love it. So did you start looking at it as like a moneymaker? Did you start thinking I can make money?
Yeah.
Wow.
We wanted to do my friends outside of school their hair, because there wasn't black girls in my school. So like my friends from church and my friends from my neighbours and stuff, I wanted to start doing other people's hair. So that's when I was able to get a bit of pocket money.
I love it. It sounds like you were really like, you've got the creative side, but you've definitely got the business side, which makes sense because obviously you have your own brand now. Was there any specific, so you said it was people you saw at school pretty much, didn't you, in magazines? So no celebrity kind of inspirations for you?
No, the earliest one I can remember is watching Honey. And I can't remember the girl's name, but it was Honey's friend. She had those braids. And I was like, they were thin braids, and she had this, she was very slim. Like, she would have her long braids. And I was like, to my mom, I want to do that. Like, I want to be able to do that. And she was like, no, that's too old for you. So then I would adapt it to, like, just trying out different things that were age appropriate. But that was always in mind, like, yeah, when I'm older, I want to be able to have styles like that.
I love that. You know what? I've never watched that film.
Oh.
I need to watch that. I've never watched it.
That's a
classic. Jessica Alba, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to watch it. So when did you start making money from doing hair then?
I think I was like probably still 13, 14 was when I started doing it properly.
And was it the kind of money you could put away and save and do stuff with, or were you just spending it each week? Or
no, I was spending it. I was getting I was getting my sweets and I was getting my magazines.
I love that. But talk me through, so you go from 13-year-old Danielle to doing hair, starting to make money. When did it become the thing that you wanted to do for your life?
I think it was all around this time, because I knew from younger that hair was what I enjoyed. And then my sister, again, she's a big inspiration for me. Her name's Rebecca. So she really was interested in fashion. So she would have like the Vogues, the Elles, and then she started getting like drapers and everything like that. And then one Christmas she asked for Teen Vogue handbook. And then in there, I stole it. And then I was reading about... like the makeup artist and hair. So Pat was in there at Guido. And I was like, this is so cool. I would love to do hair for editorials and for fashion. So then I was looking into how I can go that route. So then I found the term session stylist. And I would be on my Googles, how to be a session stylist. And I remember there was Creative Head Mag and then other articles on Hairdresser Journal. So that's when I started my subscription for Creative Head Mag, which was a lot of money at the time. Like, I remember
I can imagine, because it's for pros. What? It's for the professionals, isn't it?
Yeah, it was a lot. And I remember they had, not sure if they still do it, but they had like a talk, what was called like the couture or something like that. Or
the coterie.
Yes.
The coterie. Yes. Because I'm from that world. So yeah, I don't. Okay. Yeah.
So I think it was like £300 or something to go. And I was like, oh my God, like this will be so cool to go. But I never got to go. Obviously, I didn't have the funds and I wasn't at that stage to even go to something like that. So then it was more about doing the research and reading into how I could get into that world at the right time. So yeah, from there, I ended up going and working at a European hair salon when I was 15. First, I did work experience for 2 weeks and I was like, I love this. And then I ended up, they ended up offering me a job. But the reason why I chose that one is because I read on their website that they had session hairstylists at the salon. Right. I was like, okay, I can learn like how to get into everything and learn from them.
Just for the listeners, Danielle, break down for them what a session stylist is as opposed to like a hairdresser that they walk into.
So a session stylist, well, you do hair for sessions. So it would be, you'll be booked whether you specialise in, let's say, Afro hair, European hair, whatever it is, and you'll do hair for fashion, celebrity, entertainment, red carpet, whatever it is.
Right. It's not working in a salon. Not, I guess that's the main.
It's sessions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there was something about that world that clearly intrigued you because obviously you could have stayed working in a salon.
Yeah. But I realised when I was there, I was like, I love it, but I don't want to be in the salon like forever. So I was like, okay, I can see how this could get boring. I love how like with session work, your days are different and you get to be creative.
I love that you mentioned Guido Palau earlier because he is just so amazing. And I think he made me, I did an episode on him. Couldn't get him on, damn it. But I wanted to do an episode because I do not think hairdressers get the same love and admiration and respect that makeup artists have been able, like people like Pat McGrath, she has put the hours in. So that's why she's where she is now. But I don't think we rarely see hairdressers that become that one, you know, everyone knows who you talk. When you said Pat earlier, I knew who you were talking about. Mm-hmm. I knew Guido because I know hair, but I feel the average person may know Pat, but they're not going to know a Guido.
Yeah.
I just think hair is so integral. I think people take it for granted because every image you see, there will be a stylist there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's almost like the hair becomes the supporting role to make it come together, whereas the average person might notice makeup more. I don't know if that's it, but and I feel like hair is actually more of a grounding thing because most people have hair, whereas not everybody wears makeup. So that's why I brought up, you know, you could have stayed in the salon, but I feel like there's people like you and of course Guido that he was working in a salon and they sacked him. He was working at Vidal Sassoon and he basically thought it'd be funny one day and he changed all the names to celebrity names or something in the booking book. And he thought, you know, because obviously he's got a personality, do you know what I mean? And he just realized it wasn't for him. And now look at him, he's like flown all over the world making, I don't know how much money. I don't even know how much someone like Guido would make in a day. I know what big photographers can make in a day, but yeah, it just seems like there was an allure for you. It seems like you were destined to do this. Like you picked up the skills early. And even the fact that you said you weren't allowed to wear makeup and the fact that your sister was into fashion, it seems like there was like a real, you could almost pinpoint your chart of what you were meant to do. For you, what is like, because you know, you've already got your own brand. Like, how did that even come about? Because again, you could have stayed, you could have said, I'm just going to focus on my session styling. What made you start a brand as well?
So I started it when I was in uni. And at first it was service focused. So it was just me doing hair before I was putting my name there. And I initially started it with the wigs and hair pieces, because I wanted to find hair that I could relate to in terms of like cuts and colours of wigs that like I'm not seeing when I go into a hair shop, or something that I would see on like an editorial or a runway, but making it wearable for the everyday girl. So yeah, that's why I initially started it. It was really for myself. And then, so moving away from the services on that side, and I was like, okay, I want this to be product focus, a 360 hair solutions brand. And yeah, so I started doing campaigns with the brand to help with, to support the session world. So when I was assisting, the things that I would learn, I was like, okay, I want to make this, do this for Igor as well. So I had my first campaign that was called Unapologetic. And it was just me basically just experimenting with different hairstyles and hair pieces. And then I moved on to BU, which was to show what you could do with textures, but textures as extensions. So it would be like mimicking Afro-textured hair. And then we moved on to Focus, which was me refocusing the brand into being product focused. And I wanted from there, I wanted to show the different cuts that you could do. So for that one, I had the mullets and the classic bob. And then most recently, we've done In Bloom, which is my favorite so far. And I've got like what's it called? The jellyfish cut.
Yeah, that's what made me contact you. Mm-hmm. Because I've never seen a black face with a jellyfish cut. I haven't. I've seen it in Asian magazines. I've seen Nicole Kidman with a red jellyfish wig.
Yeah.
And I was just like, for me, it brought together, so it's the jellyfish, but it also took me back to like 90s, like Mary J. Blige, when she had like, maybe it was the mushroom.
Yeah.
The bits at the bottom. And so I was like, you are bringing things together. It's amazing what you're doing, I think. And I feel like it's simple, but it's just that nobody else has done it. So you were meant to do it. Just briefly, have you got anyone in your family that is like very business orientated? Because it just seems like you started, anyone influencing you on that side?
Yeah.
Okay, so tell me a bit more.
He's a business guy. But he has his own security company. So I've always seen like him making his own and his own way. And then all of my siblings were very much like, okay, we've got to have our own, and very business minded. So yeah, I've had that influence from birth, I would say.
Okay, because I was just like, it's just fast. It's like, so I'm just like, okay, have you already decided what's going to be next? You've got many next to come, but do you already know what your next is going to be?
With Igor, I do want to make it, I do want to have like a hub where it's a concept store and a salon. So you could go in and like you have all the wigs and consultation, or you'll be making your own, you know, like Nike ID. Like you can make it there yourself and then move into the salon space and then get it done.
Okay, when? Because that sounds amazing.
Hopefully soon. Next year.
Okay, Danielle, you have to keep me informed because I'm coming in, because I didn't even realize that you did rentals, because I need something to wear for Vogue World, and I was like, I might just like change everything, like clothes, hair, everything. So, but that, again, it's like your ideas, I'm almost like, why hasn't somebody done that already?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Because I don't mean this in a negative way, but it's not like you're like breaking things up and starting over. You're literally offering the solutions that should be there, because, you know, for many women in the UK, I think it's probably a better state of affairs in the States maybe, but going and buying a wig can often be like, if your budget isn't a certain amount, it can definitely be like very lonely, I think, and just like kind of just experimenting, but maybe not really knowing. So this sounds like if you have the wigs there, the quality and the advice and a decent mirror, it sounds like you could really, really help a lot of people.
Yeah, I hope so.
I recently had on Winnie Auer, who created the Texture Gap. That was a report specifically about why 4C hair in particular is just not catered to. And we had this whole conversation around, because like I've seen brands that have been around for ages, yeah, but they catered to, say, European hair. And now they're starting to use words like texture. I feel texture is a word borrowed from hair pros, because I think you tend to see hair as a texture, different textures. Yeah. But brands never did that. It would be curly hair, fine hair. Now they've been using this word texture, and I think it's actually it's a metaphor. It actually means they want to say afro. They want to say afro textured hair, but they're not going to, because they're trying to cater to the masses, but also catch the black pound or the black dollar. Mm-hmm. And Winnie was saying that the vast majority of hair products, even for textured hair, aren't even tested on textured hair. They take straight hair and make it textured. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on just the way the hair industry does or doesn't cater to people with different textures, perhaps? I don't even think that they're lesser well-known textures. I just think that they're ignored.
Yeah. But I'm opposite. I like how things are now saying, oh, this is just for one, this is for all. I recently did a course with Kite Kinky. And
yes.
They're based in America. And
Sabrina Kidd went as well, didn't she? I think I saw. It looked really good.
Yeah, Sabrina!
I need to get her on, actually.
Yeah, she's really good. So that was all about unlearning about using the butters, the oils, and going back to hydrating our hair with the water. And then using the products that are going to, you know, encapsulate all of that. So I think that products that are saying, oh, for all, is right. Because a lot of the products that are saying, oh, this is for curly hair, this is for afro hair, whatever it is, they're not for us. And they have chemicals in there that are making us sick. So now that things are saying for all, we know that we're not being left and using things that are damaging to us. So it could be a good thing.
That is really interesting for you to say that, because, yeah, you're basically saying if it's for all, then it should be safe for all.
Yeah.
It's just what makes me laugh is just how, you know, these other brands that I've said would normally just be aimed at perhaps straight, fine hair. Mm-hmm. They're actually bringing in products called butters and it's just, like, making me laugh, because I was like, that's so ingrained in, black hair products, was like butter, even pomade. Obviously that's more of an old school word. It's just interesting to me that they're kind of being late, and you're there in the industry saying, actually no, we're good, because it's all about the product performing at the end of the day, isn't it, for every hair type. Will you be bringing out your own, will you go that way, will you bring out your own product line of like wet, they call in the industry, they call it wet products, don't they?
That would be next? Something I'm interested in. Because I did chemistry at uni to be a foundation for formulation in the future. But not yet. But it is something that I would definitely be interested in.
Okay. I feel like you are someone, it's like being written for you. I just love that from your dad's business influence. And I feel like your sister, Rebecca, that you mentioned, that fashion angle just tipped you into this world. But I mean, what do you think? Do you think you still would have gone into this world? It's like she tipped you into it with the Vogues. And even when you said drapers is very specifically fashion.
Yeah.
It's, you know, so do you think you still would be where you are now if it wasn't for Rebecca's fashion?
I'm not sure, because she definitely opened me up to the fashion side. Whereas when I was looking at like the black hair mag, that was very beauty, let's say. And I wasn't really looking at the other covers, because I was just interested in that world. So her being there definitely expanded my mind and the possibilities of what I could do. And yeah, I just fell in love with it.
One thing I definitely wanted to talk to you about, and I didn't put it in the pre-questions stupidly, but when I read about you on the Face Beauty Directory, they asked you who is your ultimate beauty hero, and you said Mary J. Blige. So I was like, again, I can see that. So I just wanted you to like reminisce. That's obviously one of her songs, Reminisce. If you know Mary J. Blige, you know that's a Mary J. Blige song, Reminisce. But yeah, I just wanted you to tell me the story about why you picked her as your ultimate beauty hero. What was it? Was it the hair? Was it the fashion? Was it a mix of everything?
So I was first introduced to her from my brother. He was obsessed. Like, he was always listening to Mary J. Blige. And then I was just seeing the looks. So, like, I would go back, watch the music videos and stuff. And I think it's not just the hair. It's everything together. And I love that she has, that she's a natural blonde.
You know, she naturally chooses blonde. Yes.
She's a natural blonde.
Yeah. I know you. I know what you mean. Before Beyonce, there was Mary, you know?
Yeah. And just like with the different cuts, like, it's just, it's very much what I'm into. And even like her simpler stuff, like where she does like updos that aren't too avant-garde, I still think that as a whole, her image and her look has been done well.
I think she should be given way more props on her style influence. Her and Little Kim, I always think it's very, they're not given enough respect, especially, you know, they just celebrated 50 years of hip hop this month or whatever in the States. And there's a lot of talk about how they haven't done enough to really celebrate the influence that hip hop has had on fashion, like massive, from Adidas to, you know, the higher end brands like Tommy Hilfiger, etc. But I think Mary and Kim, they deserve their own exhibitions, really. Yeah. Let's be real. So who's inspiring you right now? Like, let's say, whose hair would you love to do right now?
I'd love to do Ari Lennox. I think she's...
I love her.
But I just want to see her experiment more with her hair.
What would you do then? Because I think we're used to seeing Ari... Have I only ever seen her with curls? I feel. Yeah. Maybe an updo curls.
Yeah.
Maybe down curls.
He's done like some like weaves or wigs that have been like a mid-length, like a wave. I think it'll be cool to do some like fun cuts on her that enhance her texture as well. Not taken away from like her natural texture, but to do maybe something that's a bit more A-line, or I'm not sure, but I think it'll be cool to have fun with her.
I would love to see you give her loads of hair.
Yeah,
like loads, because I think she's so gorgeous and she has that beautiful skin tone. I would, like, as a photographer, I'd be like, I'd probably want to shoot her, like, you know, those kind of like maybe a 70s style, very glossy, minimal clothing, but all about the hair, like this huge hair. I would give her a huge hair, but I'm not you. So earlier on, you mentioned that when you got into hair, you went to a European hair salon. And I feel like during the pandemic, there was quite a lot of conversation, I think it comes and goes, about whether all hairstylists in the salon, wherever, should be able to do all hair textures. And I just wanted you to weigh in on that, because I feel like you took it upon yourself to go and learn in a European salon, teaching yourself all the way anyway on your hair texture, your friend's hair texture. And often for a white stylist that wants to be a hairdresser, it might not even enter their head that they're going to work on people of color, people with different hair textures. What do you feel as somebody that's in the industry? Do you think that because I feel every makeup artist should be able to do every face, color match every face. But what is it different with hair? Like, what are your thoughts?
So, like, even when I went to hair school and we was learning, obviously, on European and Asian hair, and I'd ask the teachers and I'd say, like, are we not going to do any black models or learn the difference in doing textured hair? But this is a funny one, because I've always said that everyone should be able to do every hair texture, especially where we as black artists, hairstylists, whatever you are, we are usually overqualified, because we can do our hair and we can do everyone else's hair. But then there's also the argument that says, right, so if everyone now can do all hair, you could do Afro hair, are you going to be taking our jobs away? So I feel like it's not black and white. Yeah, but I also feel like as black hairstylists, we should get more recognition that we can do all hair. because we can be boxed in to being able to just be able to do that.
So you know where the problem arises? It's when we see and hear stories of models backstage at Fashion Week where they have money. Okay, they're putting on these shows to pay these models. And often the black girl may have to do her own hair. So that's where the problem arises. So it's surely up to the brands to find, in that instance, if you don't find, if not everybody on the hair team can do everyone's hair, you make sure there's at least a few people on the hair team that can do this girl's 4C hair, or this girl can, this girl's come with braids. What are you going to do about that? It's like, I think it's that, it's the lack of opportunities for people that can do it all. Because yeah, you've just brought up an issue there. If everybody can do everything, then there's less jobs for people to specify in. So yeah. I never looked at it that way before, but it makes a lot of sense.
It's a hard one.
What do you think you want your work to tell the people? Like, what do you want people to get from your work, what you create?
I think I want to highlight that beauty is individualistic. And also, I always go back to the notion of beauty, the beauty in transformation, because I think hair is so important. And no hair or hair can transform your look like completely. So when it's, when I speak about transformation, I'll one day we might be doing something that's sleek and up with one artist, and then the next day the same artist we could be doing something that's big and shows off like their curls or the colour of their hair. But also ties back into the essence of their beauty and who they are. So yeah, individualism. How do you say it?
Individuality. Individualism. That sounds like a word, though.
I hope so.
I'll check. Let's just check. Individualism versus collectivism. The habit of being independent and self-reliant. So I guess that's more about personality, like you know yourself and what you want, which is, I think we're definitely heading that way because social media made us a collective. It's like a bunch, so many people together, very black and white, very, yes, I agree with this, no, I don't. I feel like even again, for me, since the pandemic, there's been a way more of a lean into being individual. Like, I don't want to look like an Instagram face. I don't want to be told I can't bleach my hair blonde as a black woman or that it means X, Y, Z. I just want to play and or show who I am. And I think hair is a really integral part of expressing ourselves because it's the thing that stays there. Once I take my makeup off, I can still have a bleach blonde crop or I can still be, have a green jellyfish wig. Do you know what I mean? Hair is the thing that kind of stays with you, I think. So obviously we talked about stylists of different backgrounds being able to do all hair, but what do you think when, say, about cultural appropriate? Do you believe cultural appropriation exists when it comes to hairstyles?
Absolutely.
Right. So I'm going to share my side and I want you to elaborate because you know what started this for me? Guido Palau, going back to him, he did this style for a Marc Jacobs show. You might know it. He gave the women, the models, pastel coloured dreadlocks. Right. Now, Guido was like, I had no clue anybody would be offended. And I've heard this many times from hairdressers, hair is a texture, it's an art form. I just thought it'd be beautiful. Now, Marc Jacobs went and put his foot in it by saying, we don't tell black women what to do with their hair. Something along those lines. So Marc Jacobs muddied it for him. Guido was being the purist, an artist, and I get it. But then Marc went there saying, well, we don't tell black women what to do with their hair, so why can't these? So there's that. And then, you know, I've watched all the Savage Fenty shows and Rihanna and her people will often send non-black, not even people of colour, down the runway with cameos and whatever. So for me, maybe it's a context thing. Maybe I need context. Not that artists or creators have to explain themselves to me, but I can be a bit like,
I think that where the lines can be blurred is when it's like you're paying homage to, and then you're saying, okay, this is a reference from this tribe, da, 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 da. But also I think it's a bit sticky where if you're going to be putting something that you've referenced on someone that is, let's say it's a white model or an Asian model, I just think you should always be careful with what you're doing, because if you're doing, let's say, your hair, you're doing your hair for a runway or whatever it is, you're at a place of influence. So now if it isn't clear where I've got this from, then you'll be seeing Sally with it. And people might be getting offended on the street. So I think, yeah, it's just definitely a sticky one.
But it's hard, isn't it?
It's a hard one.
So last two questions. What does, obviously you work in hair, and for me the word beauty does not mean makeup. What does beauty mean to you?
Beauty. I was thinking about this earlier, because I often ask, why do I see beauty in that? And then try and decipher for myself, like, what is it that I'm seeing? I see beauty in connection. So like with community. One of my fave pastimes is watching people, what do you call the thing where you reconnect, like at a train station or airport? I love that.
Yes.
I think it's beautiful. So I think going back to individualism, beauty in individualism and connection.
I love that, because it's like you haven't brought up anything from the outside apart from how a person interacts with another person. Do you know what I mean? It's not about the things that you put on. And when do you yourself feel your most beautiful? What does that look like?
When I'm well moisturized, I feel fantastic.
So I hope you loved that chat with Danielle as much as I did. I'm going to be meeting her soon to check out her studio space. She's definitely one to watch. You should follow her right now on Instagram. You'll find her at Danielle Igor, DanielleIgor. And yeah, let me know what you thought of this. I really feel that it was a great conversation with someone specifically dedicated to hair. So if there are any other stylists you want to know more about, always feel free to get in touch over in the DMs at Beauty Me Podcast on Instagram or X. You can also find me on TikTok at Charisse Kenyon. Don't forget, there is a newsletter. Yes, I've been slack on it lately, but you can still check out all the previous newsletters and it will be back. You can find that at beautymenotes.substack.com. We've got a few events coming up soon, so I'll definitely be updating it more. And if you enjoyed this episode, all that I ask is that you leave a review over on Spotify and make sure you follow and subscribe so you never miss another episode. I'll see you next time.